You know that feeling when someone shows up for you just when you need it most? Yeah, I mean, we all need that. That's what Uber's all about. Not just a ride or dinner at your door. It's how Uber helps you show up for the moments that matter. Because showing up can turn a tough day around or make a good one even better. Whatever it is, big or small, Uber is on the way. So you can be on yours. Uber, on our way.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Like, yeah. No one would be terribly surprised if Andy Farrell picked Robbie Hedges. Like, oh, he's shit. No, get him out of the team.
That's not what
any, that's I don't that's what that, commenters are saying.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the ball.
In partnership with Rockshore. Bringing you League of Ireland football, a league of our own.
Get the fact, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Good evening, folks. It's Cameron here. Before we get into tonight's pod, just want to flag that we came off League of Ireland late night just before the news broke that Tim Clancy was leaving his position as manager of Cork City with immediate effect. He said in a statement tonight released by the club that the decision to leave is mine and mine alone. I'm proud to have brought this team back to the League of Ireland Premier Division and believe that they have so much more to give. So it's just worth bearing that in mind. We did have a caller at the end from a Cork City fan who was speaking about not all doom and gloom and hoping that Clancy would stay on. So with the benefit of hindsight, obviously, you'll know that he doesn't and you know how that story ends. But I just wanted to flag it before you step into tonight's show, and I hope you enjoy.
All right, we might as well get this show on the road. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night. It's Cameron Hill here. Thank you so much for jumping on another dramatic night in sport, but especially in League of Ireland Late Night land as well. League of Ireland Late Night, of course, in partnership with Rockshore on Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. We have new leaders in the Premier Division tonight. We're going to get to all the games and hear all your thoughts, I'm sure, over the next hour. I am, of course, not alone. I have Shane Keegan with me tonight. Good evening, Shane.
Cameron, how are you keeping?
I'm not too bad. And Johnny Ward is there too. Good evening, Johnny.
Good evening, Cam.
Let's get down to it because there's so much to get through this evening. New leaders, first off, in the men's Premier Division. That's Shamrock Rovers, a 3-0 win over the previous leaders. Drogheda United got them up to the top this evening. Rory Gaffney among the scorers after Graham Burke missed a penalty in the first half. So plenty to get through in that one. Big drama in Tolka Park. Shelburne were on course for a sixth game in a row without a win. They came from a goal down to beat St. Pat's 2-1. Somewhat controversially, you might say. We might get into that, the weeds of that, in a few minutes. Waterford, the most informed team in the league. They got John Coleman's tenure off to the perfect start at the RSC with a 1-0 win over Galway United. And Derry City are level on points in second, level on points with Shamrock Rovers. They beat Cork City 2-1. In the first division, it was honours even between the top two as Dundalk and Bray Wanderers played out a 2-2 draw. Cove Ramblers are up to second. They beat Wexford 2-0 at Ferry Carrick Park. We had Athlone Town beat Finn Harps 2-0 up in Donegal. Kerry got a 1-0 win over Treaty United in Colin Healy's first game in charge. He wasn't in the dugout tonight. He was still serving a one-match suspension for an infringement in his final game in charge of Cork City back in 2023. So maybe get into that in a few minutes too. And UCD 1, Longford Town 1 was how it finished at the Belfield Bowl. Shane Keegan, what were you watching tonight?
Yeah, Cameron, I was watching the game on TV. I still am, to be honest with you. It's brilliant. I'm chatting to you while looking up at my TV here, watching the full goals round up. I mean, what Virgin are doing is just so enjoyable, Cameron. It really, really is. To be able to watch a game covered as well as it is with the, you know, Doyler's commentary, absolutely excellent. The in-studio stuff, brilliant. And then within, 20 minutes of a final whistle, we're watching literally every single goal that was scored on the night here. Just watching Kerr McEnroy put the ball into the back of the net for the Shelburne winners. It's look, whole thing is just a fantastic service from them. It's been a match made in heaven so far. But going back to the game, listen, it was the kind of game we would have expected between these two teams before a ball was kicked this season, rather than the kind of game we would have expected based on how the two teams had been going. In that, you know, Rovers probably started the season as near enough favourites, or certainly in their thereabouts to win it. Draw had favourites to go down. And that's the game we got, let's be honest. It was an absolute gulf between the two sides tonight. Looking at tonight, you'd wonder how Drogheda were top of the table. As we know, the Drogheda performances to this point have been absolutely excellent. But no, not tonight. I don't think they even had a shot on target, really. And Rovers, probably without getting out of third gear tonight, arguably without getting out of third gear this season, are top of the table, Cameron.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And so much to discuss around that as well. I was watching trying to watch some of the Shelburne Pats game. That was the commentary game we had on News Talk tonight on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle guiding you through that one. So maybe he'll join and give us his take on it later. But Johnny Ward, what were you watching before we get into some callers?
Yeah, I suppose to paraphrase the granddad and only fools and horses, I would have watched the third TV, only it was on the blink. It was like just watching three games, game in the box, until basically it became obvious the game was over. As Shane says, like, there was a big, big goal for Rovers without really hitting the high notes much better. But I was watching on LOI TV, going out in Waterford, and Shells and Pats as well, which was a really, really fascinating game. And just Coleman's mustard, Cameron, Coleman's mustard and Waterford were, this was a real statement win. Like, you know, talking to one of their fans during the week, they were saying like, we're backs to the wall in each of our three wins, but like, you would have got practically 1,000-1 on them winning the four games they have in a row. And they had loads of chances in the game. Galway United probably should have had a penalty, but Waterford were definitely the better team. I thought Noonan, Lonergan and Pádraig Amin were very, very good together up front. They created lovely chances second half. Galway United found out a bit, gave away a bad goal. Brendan Clark then made a lot of good saves. But Waterford tonight, like, they did look a team that really is getting going, that for whatever reason just wasn't functioning under Keith Long. But there are four incredible wins on the bounce, and tonight they were comfortably the better team, really, I'd say, in the second half in particular.
Yeah, we will hopefully get some Waterford fans on, because it'd be great to hear what's been, it seems like a surreal time down in the RSC, what's gone on. Having got rid of Keith Long, suddenly you go on this four-game winning run. And I think Johnny was speculating that maybe John Coleman was walking into a trap there, in that he doesn't even have the new manager bounce, because it couldn't have gone better for Waterford before he even got the job. But lots to get through. If you do want to get your opinions over to us tonight, you are more than welcome to do so. Just hit the bottom left hand corner, there's a microphone button to request to speak. We will get to you as soon as possible. Lots in the Premier Division, but we're not going to sleep on what sounds like an absolute cracker in the top two sides in the First Division. Siegel Chat is standing by. Siegel, I'm just looking through the timeline of this game, and it sounded like an absolute belter. Good evening.
Hey lads, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly there. So yeah. What happened?
Oh my God. So first of all, horror show officiating. I mean, we had a red card. I mean, I don't think the referee tonight knew that the ball actually touching your hand is illegal in football. Because, I mean, I'm not lying, at least 10 times the ball blatantly not just hit off the hand, controlled the hand, and nothing given. And then, of course, we declare sent off. He, moments after a Dundalk player blatantly handles the ball, he then gets tapped, he gets tackled, quote unquote, and we get a second yellow. Now, I could have driven a bus through the distance between him and the player who supposedly tackled him. But no, and considering that, listen, for the last 15 minutes, we were playing tower defense. And then out of nowhere, we get a free kick, hit it up. It was funny because Max Murphy and Billy O'Neill were arguing as to how it would be taken. And then Max Murphy takes it, hits the bar, comes back to Harvey Warren, and the limbs were incredible. I mean, because again, we were playing tower defense at that point, so we would happily taken a 1-1 draw. So of course, to go on and lose it like that, not lose it, but draw it, it's tough. But at the same time, you know, we have to remember that, you know, both the referee was against us and and we would have been more than happy with a draw 8 minutes before we actually conceded the second goal. So no, I mean, listen, mixed emotions. But Dundalk play Athlone Dundalk play Cove next week, I think. So we've a chance to make up the difference there. But believe it or not, because I've been looking through other things as well. This is something about the league where seemingly the referees must decide that they're all going to have shocking games across the board 1 week and then do fine the next week, because obviously there was the one in the Premier Division where apparently I think it was the Derry game, but I'm not sure, you can correct me, the player took a throw 20 metres from where he was actually supposed to take it. And also in the Wexford game, apparently Zaid Abada was sent off for a first yellow card. As in the referee quite literally gave him a yellow card and forgot he hadn't given him a second yellow.
Seagull, I don't know what it says about me and where I'm at in life that the first person I thought of when I saw Harvey Warren had scored tonight was yourself. Fair play to you. You flagged this young lad up to us a few weeks ago, I think.
Yes, no, absolutely. And again, incredible tonight. I mean, we overall played far too deep and we were quite nervy with the ball, but he was so sure-footed on it. And he somehow, even though he's a fullback, he goes up the field without leaving anyone exposed or anything. He's just one of those players who has the knack for being in the right place at the right time. So I'm delighted with his goal. And he could have had another as well, but Peter Cherry made an incredible save.
What are you thinking after tonight's Eagle in terms of where you can get this season?
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, the thing is, while I still think Dundalk would be favourites, more or less, listen, we've beaten and lost to Cove, and while the first match against Dundalk was during our hopeless opening couple of games, we were taking it to Dundalk. So I mean, I do genuinely think that this is a title race. Now, it's not, again, it's a one-sided one, but I genuinely believe that Bray, Cove and Dundalk, you know, actually playing against each other are interchangeable as to who, it's all down to who's better on the night. Now, I do think that Dundalk are the most consistent when it comes to playing mid to low table teams. But I mean, this absolutely is not going to be a year that Dundalk run away with it. No way.
It's a great division, Cameron. It's absolutely super. If you look at it, like if Cove and Bray were able to go the full race with Dundalk and really pull it up to them, you could have a fantastic two-tier competition in that. It'd be brilliant if the three of those could keep the title race alive and promote automatic promotion spot alive for the whole season. And then underneath that, Cameron, at the moment, you've got 5 points between fourth and last. So the two additional playoff spots that go to whichever two don't win the league, they look like potentially being up for grabs the whole way through. Like Kerry, remarkably, are now, you know, what, 2 points, 3 points, 3 points off of a potential promotion spot. I think they're first. I think I saw somewhere tonight their first ever back-to-back victory since they joined the league. And even Longford, you know, who looked an absolute write-off. Okay, they are bottom, but they're bottom on the exact same amount of points of the three teams above them. And as I say, are 4 points off being in the promotion playoff spot. So
it's mad, Shane, isn't it? If the first division could be like as competitive, sort of top to bottom, as the Premier, the system could actually work really well, where you'd have a load of teams going for fifth.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're, and it just keeps, you know, it keeps the interest for every club. You know, it would be brilliant if it did stay like that. That you did have, you know, every team heading into the final round of games with something on the line.
And I was thinking about that, lads, because I mean, the last time that there was a proper race for the automatic promotion spot was during COVID, which was Brave lost out to Drogheda that year. But like the year before, and that was during COVID, so there wasn't any crowd. So the actual last time there was proper crowds there to watch a competitive race for the top spot in first division was when Shelburne were competing for it against Drogheda, which sounds like a strange thing to say considering the Premier Division now. But yeah, no, I mean, listen, it's, you know, in a way, it's just a more, it's not actually that strange when you think about it. It's just a more traditional league structure than compared to the free-for-all that's been the Premier Division.
The one I'm surprised at, Seagull, the one I would have probably expect more is Wexford. They're, I see, like they've only won one of the last five now. I would have expected them to be in and around where yourselves and Colbar. They just seem to be in free-fall at the moment.
Yes, I think most people predicted them to come above us. Now, again, they've brand new green as grass manager, so they are still gelling together, but I would say Wexford fans would be disappointed. Again, you'd forgive them for losing tonight. You know, one, it's against Cove, and two, they, the player sent off for getting one yellow card, but you know, losing to the likes of UCD and Longford, and of course they had those 3 points up to as well. I think they'll start to come around in the second half of the season. But no, I would imagine that most of their fans are disappointed. Not that I'm particularly sad about their situation, but you know. Anyway, lads, I'll drop off and let a few other callers berate the referees, justifiably so.
Cameron, I noticed that one of our speakers that you'd approved was the Three Amigos, the other Three Amigos. I was thinking, Jesus, these boys are even able to bring down the whole internet on us.
I know. That's it. If you don't get them in soon, you do it so at your peril. Just on, like, that was the game I was watching tonight before we were cut off, the Pats Shelburne game. The Melia goal was great and Keane Levy does really well, but I thought, like, he gets the goal, and we can talk about his goal maybe in a second, because I definitely have thoughts, but the pass from Harry Wood, which got JJ into trouble, it was really shaky. I don't think it looks, when you look at the replay, like Mark Coyle is at sixes and sevens and trying to be a centre back and not doing particularly well, but it's the trouble up the field that gets them into bother. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I get where you're coming from, absolutely. And then it's how quickly can they exploit it? And like you say, they really did, because they went for the jugular straight away with it. And look, I suppose we broke up there when I was just saying what was so impressive with Melia was that I felt he was left with a lot to do with his first touch. I think the pass could have been easier and made life a little bit easier on him. But his first touch is magnificent and it gives him a chance. Still a lot to do. But then the second touch is equally as good as the first and it's a brilliant finish. You feel like, you know, it's the kind of goal that obviously is going to kind of be overshadowed based on the results, really. I suppose I was thinking very similar to this boy from Cork who's scoring all the goals. I mean, he's after scoring 3 goals in a week, but because his side keep, you know, throwing away the points, it's probably, you know, if Cork had won both of those games, he would probably be the man we would be talking about most in the course of the last week. But goals tend to disappear into the background a little bit quicker, Cameron, when they don't result in points.
Johnny, what did you make of Harry Wood's goal? I mean, Chris Forrester goes down and it looks like it's a hamstring and Shells go and score up the field. I know it's a Dublin derby. I know these things are fraught with emotion and the usual lines of decorum and whatnot get thrown out the window. But yeah, I don't know, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think Carrywood was just absolutely brilliant in the second half. It was, I mean, the Forrester thing was unfortunate for Pat. He went off, Elbazetti came off for Mulroney, and Pat went from a position with that goal to basically being in the ascendancy to on the back foot. The place was rocking at Talca. Unbelievable roar for the goal. And Pat's like was still a threat. They were still like punching kind of holes in the Shell's defence without really looking like scoring. Couple of chances. And just at the end, that was a massive one for Shells on the form that they've been in. Like the last two losses were very, very poor, really. And McEnroy was a good finish. Pat just couldn't make the second ball clear. And but I thought Harry Wood, if you see his pass turning into Norris for, like, it was a great chance. It was just such a good piece of play, and he was linking everything, really, really dangerous. And like Duffer took off three players at half time. He's just like, he could have, who knows, it could have been him. And that's a risky thing. I suppose you're as well off take off three as well as one at half time, but like it was risky. And Shells came out second half to a very, very good, big statement win, big statement win for them tonight.
But Johnny, he like it's just that par for the course with Duffer at this stage. I think the players don't even kind of take any insult. Like it's happening every single week.
Yeah, he took players off in the first half, I think, last week.
I think he made a double change after a half an hour last week. Exactly, yeah. And then a third one at half time. So it's like, you know, sometimes it's you know, an embarrassment for a player to be taken off at half time. I think the Shells players are well past that now at this stage. It's just par for the course and almost expected.
Yeah, and it was just for Pats as well. Like Pats went top of the table after beating us, and I was kind of making the point they're top now without really having played all that well, which is a bonus. But I thought they were quite poor in Derry, and tonight for all that they played well and the chances in the game, that was a damaging defeat.
Johnny, on yourselves and Watford. I mean, it's remarkable. Like three weeks ago, were you briefly top of the table, or you were certainly joint top of the table? Were you?
We were, yeah, joint top of Drogheda at one point, second.
Joint top of the table roughly 3 weeks ago, pretty much at the same time as Keith Long loses his job because Watford looked like they're in relegation trouble. And we're only, as I say, what, 20 or so days on, and Watford are somehow ahead of Galway in the league table.
Yeah, we're down to third last now, which is kind of mad. And like, you're not like, we do look to have a bit of a cushion over Cork and Sligo Rovers, but like the games we've played lately, and you're not kind of jumping the gun here a bit, but like we laboured enough to be drawn at home, which is sort of fair enough. But lost to Pats, lost to a team tonight that's, you know, we would have been expecting 4 weeks ago was like, okay, you can put Watford, pigeonhole them as a team down there, and we're going for Europe. Like on tonight's performance, we were not better than Watford. And we were found out a bit. Like when we go behind, it's obviously difficult. But we created some half chances in the game. But ultimately, like Brendan Clark's form in the second half and the chances Watford have. I mean, you can get the XG, but I'd say their XG was high by the end. And you're looking at that game tonight, and you're like, you kind of have to revise where we're at the moment. Moses taken off. It was just like he obviously is so massive for us, but we didn't look great. I suppose the positive was Ed McCarthy coming back. Like he's seen so little game time. I thought he was very good at times in the game, but it was a worrying enough defeat that.
Cameron, let's see if Julian Canny is as worried as Johnny.
That's what I was going to say, because I was just about to compliment Johnny on not bringing up Galway and letting Julian take the mantle, but he got to it first. But Julian's standing by. Good evening, Julian. How are you?
I believe it or not, I wasn't actually going to talk about us tonight. I was at the Shells Pats game.
But, okay.
To be honest, the issue with us is we've so many injuries at the moment. I think it was against Drogheda that Greg Cunningham and Vince Borden both pulled their hamstring. And yeah, so against Bowes last week, we had three players starting who had about a combined 40 minutes between them this season. So like Conor McCormick has started the last two games. He hadn't played all season. And yeah, that's really it. It's a terrible time of the season with all the games, they have all these injuries. And yeah, our squad depth is kind of being found out. But we've two massive games coming up now against Sligo at home next week and Cork at home the week after. So I think if we lose the two of those, then we're probably definitely being dragged back in the other way. But at the moment, we're kind of hanging on just to the top group. So I suppose win those two, and then yeah, there's a different perspective on things.
But on a happier note, Julian, you weren't at that game.
No, I wasn't. But yeah, it didn't sound too pretty from the reports. But what I was going to say about the game in Talca now, I thought in the second half it was much more like Shells of last season. That there's a lot of this talk, and we've changed formation, and Shells kind of have as well, in terms of like playing the three at the back, and we're not quite more possession based, but Shells are. But like in the first half, Shells were just playing themselves into trouble. That's where the Melia goal came from, and that was about the third time that happened in the game, that Shells got caught in possession in midfield. Whereas in the second half, they were happier to let Pats have more of the ball and play in the counter, and it suited them a lot more, I thought.
Yeah, well, that, like you say, that is very much how they went about it last year. Now, I'm just looking at the changes here. Like, the one that's been a bit head scratching for me, lads, I don't know your own thoughts on it, but like I thought Sean Gannon was just unbelievable last year. I thought it was right up there with as good a season as he's had, and for whatever reason, he seems to find himself back in a scenario now where he's, you know, on the bench more often than he's not on the bench. I don't know whether there's still injury concerns or that, but you see the winning goal, Johnny, or no, was it the winning goal or the equalising goal that he makes a good run for?
The equaliser, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what you expect from Gano, you know, getting up the line, getting to the byline, putting a ball low across the box. I'm just wondering how has he managed to drop out of favour that he's not one of the first names on the team sheet, you know? He was obviously good when he came on tonight, Julian, was he?
He was, yeah. Like, I suppose him. I don't know if Shells fans will have more of an idea on this, but like maybe the three at the back doesn't really suit him as much. When he was playing as a right full last year, he could kind of overlap, whereas now three at the back, maybe it's not suited. I'd say there's probably a bit of an injury doubt as well. I think his start against us there, I don't know, it was probably about a month ago. I think that was his first game in a while, so maybe he is coming back from injury. But the other thing with Pats as well, I was at the Pats Bowes game a couple of weeks ago, where again Forrester went off, and in the second half they kind of totally lost control of the game. In that, I know it's two late goals, but Bowes probably deserved that, even though they were such late goals. And again, when Forrester went off today, obviously through injury again, but they just didn't have much. Even though Shells were kind of letting them have the ball, they didn't really create a whole lot in the second half. They probably should have been more ahead at halftime for the dominance they had in the first half. But in the second half, they kind of lost their way a bit. And yeah, there were, I don't know, the subs from Stephen Kenny as well didn't really seem to impact the game. Like Jake Mulroney, I don't know, was he? He seems to totally lost form from where how he was playing last season. So
did you look at him a bit at times during that second half, and you're like, have they enough winners and leaders here? Like, have they enough winners to actually just get through this game?
Yeah, that's probably fair enough. Yeah, because it's, you kind of look at the midfield. It's probably, well, Jamie Lennon was still on, but yeah, it's I don't know. Would you be like trusting Barry Bagley or to kind of get in the ball the way Forrester was? Obviously, like, Forrester is one of the best players in the league, so maybe it's a bit of a harsh comparison. But yeah, they did kind of, I don't know, they just haven't been playing that well. But I suppose that's the good thing in the league, that everyone's still so tight. I know Rovers have gone top now with Derry, but, and like, Derry's another strange one, that a few weeks ago you were thinking, geez, the manager could be under pressure there, and now they're top. Like, it's the mad stuff still, but
falling back on numbers, as I like to do, Julian. Is there a danger of maybe of the results kind of overly dictating the narrative here? I am looking down here, and 6-3 in favour of Pats. The XG is in favour of Pats. You know,
yeah.
Were they slightly hard done by not to have got something from the game?
They probably were, to be fair, yeah. Like, I think in the first half, they were definitely the better team, unquestionably. And in the second half, they had a few half chances. But I don't think they were, like, yeah, probably the last 15 minutes, it looked more likely that they'd win it. But at the same time, I don't know, there's just something a bit strange that you wouldn't be confident that they would see it out or even, like, get the winner. Whereas last season, the way they finished the season, it would, like, you know, definitely banked on them winning that game. But yeah, like, there is that, like, the aftertiming, as you might call it. Shells have gone and won it, and now it's all a disaster for Pats. But yeah, like, they could have easily snatched the winner or something and been 2-1, and Yeah, then they're probably top of the league, I'd say, tonight, if that if that had been the outcome. So
very small margin. And can I ask just briefly as well, either yourself or Johnny, either or, I see like both Keena and Melia started. How, what way did they go about that to get the two of them into the same lineup?
Yeah, it was it was kind of interesting because I was trying to work it out watching it, because like they had Levy kind of playing the free role, Forrester was a bit deeper, and then like one of them would kind of lead the line. Generally, it was Keena was further forward, I think, but they kind of interchanged which one would go up, and obviously you had Melia with the bit of pace. There was one stage early in the first half that, again, I think it was from Shells losing the ball, and Melia burst through. Pass wide to Elbazetti, and Elbazetti really should have scored. He didn't look confident taking the shot, but I was kind of surprised they both started. They both started against Galway a couple of weeks ago, and that night now, I'm not sure Keena was fully fit because that was his first game back in a couple of months, but maybe it's just to get time into Keena. He went off in the second half, but there's I don't know, something not quite right, but like they're still within touching distance. So as you say, like a bounce of a ball another way, they win the game and they're top, and top not playing well. So it's it makes for an interesting season anyway. But
fair play.
Yeah, thanks a mil, Julian. It is interesting. I think it was Stephen Kenny in the build-up saying that like any slip-up in this league this year could cost you dearly. But it turns out, even if you lose the odd game here or there, you're still going to be in the mix because there's now a top eight.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah.
Listen, right, best of luck.
Yeah, have a good night. Cheers.
The country's divided and folks just don't agree on much these days. But one thing we can all agree on, teachers bring their all to their students. Every day, no matter what. They are the constant force in their classrooms, bringing compassion, joy, and hope to their students. Together with Donors Choose, let's give teachers a moment they'll never forget. Now is the time to show up for educators. Even a small gift can bring big joy to a teacher near you. Visit donorschoose.org/appreciation and make a donation today.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
We're going to try. I see Shane Kennedy is waiting there. And Shane, good evening. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night. How are you?
I'm here. I'm talking to myself. There it was.
You were talking to yourself. You were trying to get it all.
No, it's not
paper.
Forgot to unmute myself. No, it was when I heard Shane say, "Sean Gannon, are you mean for the Harry Wood goal?"
I think he does all right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Evan Caffrey. We've been banging on about him all season.
Evan Caffrey gets to the end line, is it?
Yeah, he's the right wing back. He's been our best player this season, in my opinion.
I thought it was Gano.
No, Gano played right centre half.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Evan Caffrey was bombing down the wing. He's unbelievable footballer. Brilliant. This one had a Galway lad there. I was like, I thought I'd give you something. Mainly played in the 10, as you'd expect. But second half, he's going to... Boy, a shame probably like this, though. But Harry Wood played right of a three, and then he switched him. And he put McEnroy close to JJ. And then played Chapman and Wood as like two tens, like, but not in the middle, on the kind of middle of the left and right, if you get me, like 2-8. In like where Graham Ball plays, but to the left and right. So there was no one in the hole. And then Meepo played up front. And that's what you see, Chapman played the ball out wide. And it was the first attack we got, we scored from. Pat didn't have a clue what was going on. And Pat stick it out in the second half, but it was a weird game. Again, we give the ball away so cheap for the goal. John Martin only won it back. But I wasn't that impressed with Pat's, to be honest. Like, we've played missing. I don't think they do at all, do they?
He's got many out at the moment.
Yeah, who is it?
Yeah, they'd have near enough the full quota at the moment. There wouldn't be too many bodies off hand.
Lamal Palmer maybe, but I can't think of that many players that they haven't. And like just the second half, it looked like they started to worry a bit at one all, kind of just, I don't know, you were never that convinced they were going to win after that.
No, they took off Keane as well, I'd say, after I think 75 or something, which was surprising. But obviously they're trying to manage him. But they got out. We kind of struggled to deal with the six because we had two lads covering the fullbacks. They did get out a few times and they probably looked the most threatening to score. But I was just saying to one of the lads here, if you're Rayhan Tulloch and you're Ryan O'Kane and you see John O'Sullivan and Daniel Kelly come on before you, you're probably like, yeah, where am I going with this club?
Pretty demoralising.
Yeah, that would be fucking a killer, obviously, excuse the French, but yeah.
What were you thinking, Shane, after the last two games? I mean, you were fairly despondent after the Derry game, but like obviously Monday wasn't great either.
You just can't give away those goals. And John Marin was a big loss in the back line for set pieces. And we can't give away those goals. It kind of gives the teams that sit in a lot more energy, I think, to just defend. And then Meepo's miss, whatever it is, what it is. You can't give away those goals and expect to win matches. Same as Derry again. But there was a very interesting thing going back to Derry from your thing. When you see Michael Duffy's not taking the corner, he takes every single corner for Derry. Surely you're looking as a manager going, what's going on with him?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But little stupid, we're giving away so many stupid goals. Even tonight, ball played in, the Galway lad said it. Give away the ball to John Martin, gives it away. Shouldn't have got the ball. The only one, he was wrecked. And then they're in on goal. It's a good finish by Amelia, but you can't give away the ball like that in your own half against that team.
You even Colin Wheaton back as well.
I don't know. We were very good in the second half, though, tonight in early doors. But I don't know, the league's mad though. It's mad.
McEnroy. Go on.
Sorry, I was going to say McEnroy going in beside JJ just gave him that freedom to pick the ball up in the middle, which is something that when he plays off the left or the right, he's not really in the middle. Where tonight for the goal, he goes beside JJ in the second half and then he gets John O'Sullivan, to be fair, full credit to him, puts the head down, puts the ball in. Where Kerr picks that second ball up, he's in the middle of the pitch. He's not left or right, or it's none of this stuff. Like, he's just able to get on the ball in the middle and he fakes it and then shoots. That's where I think having the two in the middle of the park tonight in the second half just allowed us to be more comfortable. We were so open with just JJ sitting there and the 2 8s and the 10 and the 9 and all this crack, where tonight we had 2 6s in the second half. And we just look more comfortable defensively.
The McEnroy's finish as well, Shane. Like, when you think what's on the line that late in the game, he was so composed. Like, there was no lashing it. Like, take a touch. He's just really, really good.
Yeah, no, it was a super finish, in fairness. So it was. Shane, like, based on what you've seen, the good and the bad of what you've seen the last few weeks, how confident are you at the moment that you'll be in the race coming down the final stretch?
That is the question.
I'm going to look, it's the windows. I'd say at the moment, everyone's probably looking get in the race before the window and then go from there with European games and like transfer window opens and who brings in who. And I mean, if the lads aren't back fit, Boydy and Barrett, especially just for set pieces, because we're giving away a lot of them at the minute, like, or we just look. Even the goal tonight came from them having chances and then they pinned us back and we probably got tired a little bit, I'm not sure. That's a very hard thing to say given the squads, like, you don't know what's going to happen. If Rovers win a couple of games, but our next three games are Bowes away, which I know they're in form, but they're picking up late win after late win. How long can that go on for? Then it's Trotted, I think, at home, and then Cork away. Win those three games and you're back joint favourites again. Like,
you're like the You're like a good politician. You're after talking for 5 minutes there without answering my question. Are you confident? Are you confident that you're going to be in the shake-up or not?
If the lads aren't back fit, I'd say no. If they're, you can't answer that now in May for a transfer window to come in. Like, we need defenders. So if we don't get Paddy Barrett back fit and we don't sign defenders in July, absolutely not.
I think after tonight, Shane, both Shanes, I think it's fairly conclusive. Shamrock Rovers are favourites for the league. Just like if the way Pats are going and the way Rovers have basically started to click a little bit without fully getting there. And I would definitely put Derry in the title race at the moment as well, having looked at them in recent weeks, including against Shells and against, like, they have just good players who are clicking. So I don't know where Shells are at in that whole mix.
Yeah. Can I ask Johnny Hughes? Yeah, just curious to hear who that 17-year-old for Galway is. I see they have a young play at the back. Is he at the back? It's a random question.
Killian Tollett was starting tonight, but he's a player. He's one of the, we don't get that many players through the academy. He started, was taken off. Like, it was a tough game for him tonight, to be fair. But like, he's one of the younger players come through. He did start tonight. It'd be a rare start for him.
Right, I see Aiden there is ready to jump on. The one before I go, lads, the other favour, right? How old is that Seagull chat, lads? He must be in his 40s or something. Will you just find out his name and stop calling him Seagull chat?
Oh, he's actually only 17. He's just very erudite.
Is he? I'm going to say we're going to come fourth, Shane. Does that answer your question? We're going to win the day. We're going to win the Champions League.
I'll be the FUA. I won't say where, we'll finish in the top one.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Shane Kennedy, Shelburne TD for Dublin Bay North there on the line, as per usual. Great to have him on, as always. Aidan is off. I think this is your first call in of the year, Aidan. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Nightland again.
That's a crack, lads. Can you hear me this week?
Can I hear you perfectly there? How are you keeping?
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, you must be buzzing.
In the past few weeks.
Well, there you go. Of all the nights to get in touch, going level on points with Shamrock Rovers at the top is a good one for the line to work tonight.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's been a great couple of weeks. The team's starting to look a lot, you know, better. Of course, from the start of the season, they look like they're, you know, gelling better and things like that.
Is it just time, Aidan? Is that all that was required? Because let's be honest, the early signs weren't good. Whereas at the moment, your form is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, well, like, there's still, of course, a good bit of the team that was with us from last year, but there's still a good, you know, few changes that were brought in. So, like, we knew it was going to, you know, take a couple of weeks. Well, that's what everyone obviously was all, you know, hoping for, that it would just be a matter of, like, maybe, you know, the first five or six games, etc. But I think the weeks is, you know, like, the team now, like, they've been playing a lot better. The defense, of course, like, for Lynch, he's been, you know, he was experimenting a lot at the start with three at the back and five and four and stuff, but at the minute it's working well with the system that we're playing, with the likes of, you know, Holt, Connolly and Hayden Cann, and you have Ronan Boyce and Todd. So it's been, you know, it looks like they've sort of, you know, found a bit of a system and stuff, and then now it's just, you know, using the squad properly and things.
Aidan, it's the, like, you're looking at Derry's teams now and the bench as well, like, really, really strong players on the bench. And we spoke to Mark Connolly on a podcast during the week. What struck me was, like, he was saying, this is a good squad. This is a good bunch of players. Like, you're looking at the amount of players who come in the off-season. Like, what's their motivation at this stage of their career? The manager's not proven in the League of Ireland. And now all of a sudden you can imagine, like, they're getting belief and momentum as a team.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, you can see the confidence now, you know, like, in the likes of the, you know, the squad and stuff. When the likes of, you know, when we were playing Waterford, we did look, you know, just a bit tiring, because I think it was just, you know, maybe the manager learned from that as well, because I've noticed ever since, even when we're winning, he's not really keeping the same 11. he kept the same 11 like twice, you know, for like 2 weeks, and then went down to Waterford, the same squad again. And then you can see the tiredness. We didn't look, you know, that great. And then at the minute now, even with the likes of Danny Mullen scoring last week, it's great now that the likes of Liam Boyce is, you know, you're able to turn to Liam now. And he came on the night, got a good goal. Great setup by Gavin White. Whenever the goalkeeper, when I was listening to commentary, they were saying, what's the keeper doing? But I don't think they expected Gavin White to take that good of a touch. He probably expected to go straight past him. But yeah, Gavin just, you know, killed the ball and then was able to do a nice chip cross into Liam.
You forget as well how good like Adam O'Reilly can be as a player. Robbie Benson, if he gets going, Michael Duffy's nearly been the player of the year so far. And then you bring in all these Northern Irish internationals on top of it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like Adam's been, you know, he's been unbelievable. So he is, especially like I couldn't believe how good he was doing last week against St. Pat's. But yeah, like there's definitely
he was so good. He was so good Monday night, Aidan, wasn't he?
He was unbelievable. You would think Kempe was on the pitch.
Yeah. Good. That's a very good comparison, actually. That's a very good comparison. Games I've seen this year, look, I was in the top three individual performances I've seen so far this season. I just thought he was outstanding, and you'd love to have him with my manager's hat on. You'd love to have him. I'd say he takes little to no managing. There's some fellas they say high maintenance but high performance. He's high performance, but he just strikes me. I don't know the kid, but he just strikes me as, you know, he just like looks like a robot. You just input the instructions and off he goes and delivers for you.
Yeah, no, definitely. He's a workhorse, and he got the assist, you know, for the goal last week as well.
Great.
I hope he's all right for next week, because our next two games, we've got Drogheda and Shamrock now. So he took a bad clash there. It looked like to the ribs, and he was down for about 5 minutes. The doctor and stuff was coming on, and then I hope he hasn't like broken a rib or something like that. You know, the way if he did break a rib, he might be able to continue with the adrenaline. But as soon as the 90 minutes went down, he laid back down on the pitch, and the physios came back on again. So I hope he's okay for next week, because he'll be a big miss for away to Drogheda and then home to Rovers.
Well, Aidan, we hope it's finally turned the corner, as you say. It's starting to look like it's coming together for Derry finally after what seemed like a very ropey start. But we'll have you on again. Thanks so much for jumping on this evening.
Yeah, no worries, lads. Appreciate it. Yeah,
Cameron, if you look at their form at the moment, like take that as he says there, Aidan, that Waterford game was probably a bit of a blip, and you take that out, like they've comprehensively beaten Go United, comprehensively beaten Shells, comprehensively beaten Pats, like in recent weeks. And Cork have actually been very competitive at home. Like they're getting serious, serious results backed up by performances at the moment.
Yeah, it's stemming. As you say, Waterford completely turning the head on form. Like, looking at the form table, I think, and I don't want to annoy Johnny, but like the three defeats in a row for Galway, 8 seems like it's the ideal place for them right now. But after that, it's a complete scramble, and it may continue.
I'm looking here at Cameron. I said, I said like 3 weeks ago, Galway have gone from top to 8. Nathan has actually put out a tweet. Galway were top of the table at 5:30 on Monday. Is that right?
They're actually top of the table. You were top of the table during the Bows game.
Stop the count.
And now we're in relegation trouble.
I know. Well, I thought it was very funny, Johnny, on your podcast, someone had emailed in and said, "Stop, get off the fence and try and predict this." It just seems like a thankless task. How can you even do that?
It's just so compressed. Like, the worrying thing about us is I've made this point all year. All our games pretty much have been very close. But recently, like the Derry game, especially once we got down to 10 men, we were second best. Tonight we were second best as well. Like it was close on the scoreline. We were always in the game, but like Waterford they had very, very good chances. I do wonder about, like, they had players tonight, the likes of Noonan, who just looked like, and you forget how good he and Lonergan could be as well. Like, they looked like they were starting to believe. And I know it's a bit of a managerial bounce, but like, Waterford looked good tonight. They genuinely did. And it's the lowest point of our season so far, like less than 4 days or whatever after being top of the table in running.
Johnny, here's the key question for me, given the craziness of the results. Surely to God, you can't be in profit on your League of Ireland race and post tips, are you?
I think you answered that rhetorical question yourself. I'd say this has been the toughest season, and like not only that, like I was heavy on Shells get a result in Derry, like just call that really badly. I had Pat tonight, like basically a draw was making me money tonight, and that let me down. And like even I'm finding it tough to predict. I think some people give me a bit of an out on that. And you're not making excuses, but no, it is tough.
Nobody could be making a profit on League of Ireland games at the moment. It's absolutely you want your head checked to be even trying.
The house is winning.
Anyway, so my column is every Friday in the Racing Post.
We'll give the floor to Gavin Smith, who's been waiting patiently there. Gavin, good evening. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night. How are you keeping?
Very good, thank you.
What do you want to get off your chest?
About Boris winning in Galway.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
One, have a go at Johnny there.
Yeah. Some salt coming here for your wounds there, Johnny.
That was a long time ago. We've had more misery since.
Well, I have to say, in the second half, both were amazing. When we got top of Galway, I was expecting one team to win it. But I have to give credit to Casper. He pulled off some amazing saves to keep us in it. And if both bringing the correct players in the summer market, I really think both will be targeting for Europe, because I was halfway through the season, I wanted Rangers to go, but now I changed my mind because the players are playing for him and it's great to see.
That's the one thing, Gavin, like they never stop playing for him.
No, that's correct. And because the fans need to get on board now with Danny Rangers, because like I said, if we can beat Sligo tomorrow, which is a very tricky place to go to, win that, we could be right back up for the European places. And then we have that massive derby next week against Celso. But look, there's one thing I have to say. Boys have to stop winning late on, because one of these days they're going to have a panic attack. Because it's not good for the heart.
Not at all. Like their points in the last sort of like 20 minutes or something of their last few games that they've accumulated has been insane. It's been quite the spirit they're showing.
Yeah, but on Galway United, way quick, Johnny, I don't think Galway want chance for Europe, because at the start of the season they were flying under John Caulfield, but I don't know what's going on with Galway. If Galway don't pick up results quick, I really think they're going to be struggling to stay up. So Galway need to be very careful, Johnny. Otherwise, Galway will be in serious trouble this year, mate.
Yeah, I don't think we're in relegation trouble. And as Julian said there, like with the injuries, Greg Cunningham has been a massive loss. Borden has been excellent this season. And like we, as you say, Gavin, we did have chances to win the game against Bowes. If Moses Dyer had scored first against Pats, we're 1-0 up, we're in a really good position, misses a sitter. Things have gone away in recent weeks.
And but Galway would keep playing like Bowes over the top on crosses. I don't know why Galway don't play football on the ground for. Maybe that's the coffee system to play football like that, and it's not great for Galway fans to watch the football. Need every home game like playing long balls or over the top passes or keep trying to cross the ball, because Galway have a very good midfielders, and if Galway can buy a good striker in the summer, Galway will pick it up.
I believe that's called kicking Johnny while he's down, Gavin. So thanks very much for that. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, there you go. Johnny's muted himself.
Yeah, it was a bit like Sideshow Bob there when the elephants just started to walk over him in the parade. So yeah,
surreal. Stop. Johnny's already dead. We'll go from Johnny to John. John is waiting there. I think he's going to give us the perspective on Cork City that we might have got earlier from Adam G, but
He's floated off into the night, unfortunately. John, good evening. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night. At least I hope he can join. You might want to...
Good evening, lads. Thanks very much.
There you go. There, we can hear you. Sorry, hello.
Great stuff. How are things, lads? Thanks
Not
for having
too bad.
Me.
Were you at Turner's Cross this evening?
I wasn't tonight, unfortunately, as I had a GA match of my own with the club, but...
Did you win?
I was... No, we got absolutely destroyed. So it's been a tough
night. Oh, no.
Yeah. So anyway,
how was life in general? But, anyway,
yeah, it's been a tough.
Stop trying to drag people down, with you, Johnny. For God's sake.
Nah, look, I was following the game closely. I didn't get to watch it, but look, it's looking fairly bleak at the moment, lads. I'll be honest. Fairly bleak now. I suppose. You know, to me, I see a lot of people kind of jumping to blame the manager. I see plenty of people defending him as well, by the way, on that end. This is every fan, everyone is different. But I see a lot of people blaming the manager, which I don't think is the right way to go about it. To me, I think it's, you don't want to be admitting defeat. And look, at the end of the day, there's a bit of a gap now between us and eighth. So we'll battle away for Sligo for that playoff place, it's looking like. To me, I'm calling it now that we will go down, unfortunately, as negative and all as that makes sound. However, I do think Tim Clancy is the right man to bring us back up.
The one thing is, you're actually scoring goals against decent sides, and Shawnee Maguire isn't back yet.
Yeah. Good point, Johnny. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And you know, do you think you're going? Do you think you're going down automatically, or do you think you're going to lose a playoff? I don't know if I'd be as pessimistic as you were. Go on. What do you think? You'll finish bottom, or
I could see it going either way, because honestly, I think Sligo are actually a little bit underrated. That's maybe a conversation for another day. But I'll be a little bit more positive and say that it'll be by the playoff. But I just look at this Cove team. They're absolutely on fire, and it just would bring you back to Waterford from a few years ago when we were went in very confident and, you know, just got kind of humbled in the end. So that's kind of what I'm, and it would be absolutely almost the end of the club. Imagine Cove beating, I wouldn't actually be the end of the club, but it would be just shocking, lads, if it did happen. But I hate to be so pessimistic, but that's what I'm calling. But as I say, I think Tim Clancy, I feel so sorry for him, because I genuinely think he's a quality manager. He's got something out of us this season. We've got 12 points on the board. It's just so hard to do anything when you have such a trim squad, and put on top of that probably the most injuries in the league. But sorry, I'll shut up now, lads. I'll let you come
John, if you went down in a relegation playoff to a Cove team that is essentially your team from last year, a team full of players that you decided weren't good enough to be at the club anymore, I don't think anybody in Cork City would be able to handle the thought of that.
Absolutely, Shane. Yeah, it'd be the worst nightmare, you know, but I just look at the way they're playing down there. They've got a real good kind of cohesive squad together. And I always did think we made a mistake. Maybe some of them were right to go, but I think the likes of Keane Coleman, I always thought we made a mistake leaving him go personally. So yeah, I don't know what to say, but you're right, it would be the absolute biggest nightmare, but it just feels a little bit reminiscent to that Waterford playoff from a few years ago, you know. But look, hopefully I'm wrong. I could easily be wrong, you know what I mean? But it's just the feeling I'm getting. But the point of my point is that I think Tim Clancy is the right man to bring us back up again. I think he's been very unlucky this season. We've had some, as Johnny said, we're scoring goals against good sides, and we're playing quite well, you know, but it's just a case, well, maybe we're not playing well, but it is just a case of injuries has really not been kind to us. But that's we have no one else to blame but ourselves for that, because the squad from the start of the season, it was obvious that it was very, very trim. So if, you know, we wouldn't have been able to cope with any level of injuries, but particularly the level we're getting now is just catching up with us. But look, it's not all doom and gloom. I still think we've got a solid base of players, and the summer will come now. The summer could either be a blessing or a curse, because we could lose, you know, we're probably going to lose quite a lot of players, and it's about who we bring in then. But look, hopefully we can battle, and maybe I just find it very hard to see us finishing above 90 at this stage. But you know, hopefully we can win that playoff if it does come to that. But I don't know. I'm not. It's bleak, lads. I'll be honest.
Yeah, I know. Look, Waterford's uptake in form is just, you know, it's been an absolute killer to you. It's not so much that I'd be concerned about yourselves. Like, I think, you know, I don't think it is all doom and gloom. I know a defeat is a defeat, but it's always a good sign to me. Like, you know, you haven't been beaten by more than a goal in any of those defeats of recently. So it's not like you're getting walloped and that you're showing nothing. I think you've come out marginally the wrong side of a lot of tight games, including games against Derry, Shamrock Rovers, you know, against some good sides. And you've been there or thereabouts. It's just the uptake in Waterford's form has been a killer for you, John.
100%. That's a very good observation. You're dead right. You know, it's not all doom and gloom at the end of the day. You know, we're not actually playing that badly. Like, that point against Rovers was fantastic, and that gave us all a little bit of hope. But I don't know. You know, I think with stuff not going our way as it hasn't been recently, I think it was important to get something out of tonight, and when we failed to, even if it was a valiant display, it just kind of would worry you a little bit, you know.
And that kind of sums up the league, Shane, from a sort of competitive standpoint. In that, like, everything John has just said there equally applies to Sligo Rovers in a way, in that they've put in some really good displays, have only lost by maybe a goal or two in certain games, and yet it's those goals, as clumsy and maybe poor to give away as they are, they're what's costing teams this year. That was the reality. That's what everybody knew they were getting themselves into this year in this league, is that it was going to be competitive. There's going to be no whipping boy, and any mistakes are going to cost you dearly.
Yeah, and the mistakes keep on coming, Cameron. That's the point. Like, I'd say, we probably averaged three goals a game, near enough again tonight, I would think, across the division, and that's par for the course. It's absolutely brilliant for the spectators, not so brilliant for managers. And because the teams are so tightly bunched in the various different divisions and in the different kind of units that they're in, like, I know if I was a manager, you wouldn't say this out loud, but the managers must nearly be in a rush to come off the field and find out how the other results have gone, because they're so dramatically affected by what's going on elsewhere, because it's all so bunched that, you know, you could come off the field, you know, having only got a draw or defeat, but the next thing, you know, you see the results around you haven't resulted in a whole lot of change, whereas another night you come off and you have to have a good result, and you're looking and you're seeing, Jesus, I'm Galway United. I've somehow gone from top to fucking eighth in the space of 5 days.
Yeah, it's kind of mad. Although they were there at 5:30. I don't know how realistic being top was for Galway United in the end, but it is an incredibly valid point. And I was just looking through the fixtures there. We have to go back to the 21st of April for a nil-all, which is quite insane. And that's one nil-all in quite a lot of results with multiple goals, which is crazy.
And listen, Cameron, you know, we're kind of, for the sake of the narrative, we're throwing out the Galway comment there. Reality is, where you are in the table at the moment really means absolutely nothing. So are Galway in eighth having a very poor season in comparison to Pats in fourth? Sure, they can't be. They're 2 points behind them. Like, you know, so your actual position in the table at the moment, so long as you're not getting detached points-wise from where you want to be, it, you know, there should be no alarm bells in Galway, because they're eighth. They're eighth, yeah. They're also 2 points off Pats, you know, 6 points off top. Would they have taken 6 points off top at this stage of the season? You're dead right they would have.
Mm. John, thanks so much for jumping on.
Thanks a million, lads. Really appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
And not at all.
Could I just quickly say before I go, I'll be extremely brief, that I know I've been very negative on here tonight, but I will say, you know, and you've kind of touched on it, lads, the league is in an extremely good place right now. It's honestly, I've been following, admittedly, in and out since about 2016. And in my opinion, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the best league I've ever seen in that time. So I think that's something to be positive about, you know. But anyway, lads, thanks a million.
John, some might even call it the greatest league in the world.
Some might call it a league of our own, as our good friend Rockshore do. That's who are partnering us on League of Ireland Late Night, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. We are going to leave it there tonight, folks. I know a few of you didn't get to jump on. Unfortunately, we do have to call it a night, but we'll hopefully hear from you again next week, because plenty of... Listen, all we need is a quiet week. It's just wall-to-wall utter insanity and excitement in the League of Ireland right now. And lots more to come over the weekend. So the one game in the men's Premier Division is Sligo against Bohemians tomorrow at 7:45. Full round of fixtures in the women's Premier Division tomorrow. The pick of the games has to be Shelburne against Galway United at 4:00. But lots happening. Bowes against DLR Waves, Cork City at Wexford, Peamount against Treaty United, Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers, and Athlone Town against Waterford. Lots and lots to get through. There's lots of games coming up next week. Full round of fixtures. Bowes Shells, Drogheda against Derry, Galway against Sligo Rovers. You've Cork against St. Pat's and Waterford against Shamrock Rovers. So we will undoubtedly have plenty of talking points by the time we reconvene here next week. But until then, Shane Keegan, have a great weekend. Thanks for jumping on.
Great stuff, Cameron.
And Johnny Ward, thank you for bearing with me through the technical difficulties.
Yeah, as the old story goes, when they say to you in the betting parlor in the States, you have a good day, sir, and you reply, sorry, I've made other plans. That's how the weekend is going to go after tonight.
Oh dear, Johnny's gotten very maudlin. I don't like this at all. Right, we'll let you wallow there, and we will let everybody enjoy the rest of your Friday night and the rest of your weekend. This is League of Ireland Late Night. Thank you once again for jumping on and listening, and thanks to all our callers. We'll be back again next week. Talk to you then.
Off the Ball, in partnership with Rockshore, bringing you League of Ireland football, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.